And that today we're going to talk again in our series of better. I've been using scriptures that I found in the Bible that talk about better. And we're going to be talking about that and walking through. But I just pause on that part of don't do it. It's relational suicide. It's not just about marriages, but it's about our relationships here. It's about relationships at work and everything else. The Bible says to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He says that on purpose. Why does he say that? Because he knows you and I can't do it. It's too quick for us to say. It's too quick for us to jump to something instead of casting all of our cares and waiting on him. So many times in marriage, that's really where it starts. It starts at chipping at each other. It starts at allowing thoughts to come into the head and allowing it to stir around. Just don't do it. Don't give the enemy a foothold or an opportunity in the relationships that God has placed around you. And if something starts to come in, whether it's with your spouse or over your kid or over someone in this body or at your workplace or your neighbor or whatever, and it comes in as a negative, right away say don't. Even if you get that crazy song behind you, just don't do it. Just don't do it. And stop that in its track. Take captive every thought the Word of God says. Because if we don't take captive those thoughts will come from our head into our heart. And the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so all of a sudden, we get things coming out of us that are not healthy. It's only because we didn't take captive those thoughts. We've allowed them to get into our heart. And now they're starting to poison the way we look at things and the way we walk. Just don't do it. It's relational suicide. It's like a young couple getting ready for a date. And they're so excited. And all of a sudden, the wife says, "Do these jeans make me look fat?" And the husband replies, "Well, they look all right." Now listen, that comment might end up ugly, so just don't do it. Maybe we need to look at something that is better. The wife says, "Do these jeans make me look fat?" And the husband says, "They look great." When life hands you choices, choose the better. Another phrase that we hear is take the high road. Amen? Don't return evil with evil. Don't try to get even. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Trust in him. He's got you. Amen? James chapter 1, verse 19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How many here today, you can shout out if you want to, that you're believing God that this year will be better than last year. Yeah. Woohoo! Amen? There's a couple of us excited, a couple of us kind of semi on board. How many are believing for something better? Is this all that life is? There's more in Christ, amen? I'm not talking more as in fancy boat and this, and I'm talking about in Christ, there is so much more. More peace, more rest. I don't know about you, but how many people need rest? Amen? Not just for your physical body, but how about your mind? My mind goes a mile a minute. It just does not stop. Honest truth. It's since I was a kid, it just keeps spinning. I keep thinking, dreaming, talking. Oh my goodness, I could do this, I could do this. Sometimes I just have to like get out of my head and get a break. And so that is actually a really positive side of a strength that I have. But how many know strengths can be your biggest weakness? If you don't allow yourself to allow that gift to bless and help instead of it control. We're in this series called Better. We're looking at different verses with the word better in it. We're memorizing those verses so that we won't just hear them and forget them. James chapter 1 verse 22 tells us that. But we'll know them and we'll let them transform our minds and our lives so that we can put them into practice. Too many times we open our word and we just read it. You know, it would be better for us sometimes, to read less, actually chew it, and walk in it, than to read tons and not do it. Bible says, don't be just a hearer of the word, but put it into practice. He's wanting this word to transform our lives, not just to be, oh, that sounded good, or oh, that was this or that. I really believe the message that God wants to put in my heart today, that he wants me to share, that if we open our ears and our hearts towards it, I believe that there's a lot of people that are going to walk free today. I believe there's a lot of people that are going to walk through this life a lot easier. Jesus says his burden is light and his yoke is easy. But it's going to be easy to pass this one off. Ah, I got it together. I'm okay. It's only a few little things. It's not this or that. And pass it off. Listen to me. Every time we say, God, I want more of you. God, I want to draw close to you. Guess what? He takes you literally. And that's why sometimes in our lives, things kind of get messed up a little bit. Because he took you serious, that you actually want to be close to him. So then God comes and starts to work in your life. Listen, it's not a bad thing. We blame the devil on a lot of things in our life. When things don't go the way that we thought they should, when this happens or that happens, sometimes it is because we've done wrong and we've opened a door and the enemy's taunting us. But a lot of times, God just found you faithful with that little you're walking in. And he just wants to put you on the potter's wheel again, break you down, reshape you so you can contain more of him. You can reflect him better. You can move with him. You have a God that is for you. He's not against you. Don't let the devil bring that lie in your head. He is for you. And sometimes, yes, God will break you down, but only for one purpose, is to build you up so that you can contain more of his glory, more of him, so you can release it everywhere as you go. Oh, we serve a God that is for us, not against us. Last time we shared the scripture from Psalms 84:10. Better is, thank you, Doug. I saw that mouthing of that word. He's with me. I feel in that connection. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God and dwell in the tents of the wicked. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day with your presence. Better is one word from God, one touch, one smell of his aroma than your entire vacation and more, Nathan, that you just went on to Dominican Republic. That was incredible, wasn't it? You had a great time? Didn't want to come back. And God says, one day in his presence is greater than that. It's hard for us to get our minds around this, but that's what he says. You're going to have to let go of the good in order to grab hold of the better. You're going to have to let go of the good. Stop settling for the good life. That picture-perfect life that we're told from movies and everything else, this world, that if you can just get the house and 2.1 kids, and I don't know what 0.1 means, but you know, if you can just get this and you can get that and you can get this, you're going to be happy and you're going to be better if you just get that boat. You just do this, you do this. Don't get caught up into that good life mentality. Now listen, let me pause so I don't get in trouble. We were a little rough on the guys with the video, so let me break it down this way. There is absolutely nothing wrong with toys for boys. The problem is, if those toys or those hobbies or those things, whether it be a male or a female, if they get a hold of you instead of you holding on to them, then it's wrong. You just got to shift the priority again. So that when God's speaking to you, you're not saying no to him. You can say no to that thing. Because he has the highest place in your heart and in your life. How many people remember the candies? They were called Spree. S-P-R-E-E. I got them from a vending machine when I was young. and that when I'd go play games or whatever, there was these little glass jars that had little candies in there. They're multicolor, colorful, very bright, vivid colors. They were a bit sweet and a bit tart. Willy Wonka's made them. You know, I'm not sure. Anyone know this? No one knows this. Man, I was the only blessed kid to have these. These were amazing. You put them in your mouth, it would start sweet because the outer layer, and then all of a sudden, they'd just explode with this like sour and this tartness. It was amazing candies. And part of the slogan on there, and I'm going to keep moving by because I'm not catching anyone on this one, but that's okay. I figured, you know, they were a long time ago. Someone would know that. But my sweet tooth, part of their slogan was, if one is good, two are better. What a lie. The enemy has sown, even through candies, even through other things, that the enemy keeps putting this into our minds all the time, that if we get more, just have another. I just need a little more, that will be better. Then it'll be better. Just one more. Here's the deal. Even if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you can see a form of this lie. If one is good, two is better. If you don't know the story, God created everything and he said it was good. And then he created man and said he was good. But it's not good for him to be alone. So poof, man goes into a deep sleep. God took a rib and made Eve. And Adam saw Eve and he said, whoa, man. Anyways, I am terrible at this funny stuff. I'm trying to lighten things up here and that because I don't want to be so, you know, straight here. But laugh at me, it's okay. God says, have fun. Be fruitful, multiply, eat from any tree in the garden except one. You can have anything you want, but just not that one. Lay's chips. Back in the, I think it was in the 70s, they put out a commercial. Had this lady, a little finger here, Lay's chips sitting up on the tree with a little serpent. And it says the phrase on there, bet you can't eat them all. And it's giving this pun back to Eve in the garden. You see, the world loves to twist things and warp things because the enemy is speaking in and through it all the time. And Satan came to Eve in the form of a serpent, and the serpent said, did God really say not to eat from that one tree? Because here's the deal. If you do it, you'll be like God. What the serpent was basically trying to say to her is, hey, you've got everything, but what you don't have is what you need. You have everything, but what you don't have is what you really need. More. But yeah, you've got everything. But I just need more. What you don't have will make you happy if you can just get it. Why don't we get what we don't have? Because more is always better than less, isn't it? Isn't that what we're taught? More is always better than less. You just got to get more. Everywhere as we go, we're bombarded by these things. I remember the first time I went to an all-you-can-eat buffet. I mean, it was not heard of in my family as 10 in the family and that around the table. So it was like, you know, that pie was cut, that roast beef that looked really big. By the time it got to you, it was pretty small. So I went to this all-you-can-eat buffet. Remember the first time. And I'm paying. I'm like, man, I'm getting my money's worth out of this. Oh, they're not going to know what happened here. So I went, I'm on my fourth or my fifth plate. I've got to get my money's worth. I can't believe they're letting me keep coming back. I mean, like, that's unheard of in my family. And so I'm in there and I'm just piling it on. You know, it's not like, you know, first helping was lots, second, third, and it's coming down to like two peas on the plate. I mean, I'm packing it. I get back to my table. I'm not kidding. I get back to my table and I'm starting to eat it. I'm not feeling 100% now. But I'm like, I'm getting my money's worth because more is better. So I'm eating and I'm eating, I'm eating. Well, listen, I went to the throne room and I had a little talk. And I'm not talking to God's throne room, but I'm talking about the other one. And it was not fun at all. More is not better. More is not always better. In fact, our main thought that I want to hit on today is simply this. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. So this is our memory verse for today. Ecclesiastes 4:6. Ecclesiastes 4:6, and this is what it says. I'll read it, and then after that, we'll say it together. So if I break it down, it's simply this. Better one handful with tranquility or with peace, one handful with peace or tranquility, than two with toil and striving and stress and chasing after the wind. So this is what the verse says. It says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Okay, and let me say it one more time. Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. Can we try that together? Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. One more time. Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. Better is one handful than two. Why is one handful better than two? I got thinking about this. This is my simple mind for a moment, so just follow my simple mind. Better one handful than two. Well, I got thinking about it. If I've got one handful, what do I got? I've got one empty hand. I know this is very simple, so it's just my simple mind. Got one handful, I got one hand free. So if I got one handful and someone says, hey, can you help me? Guess what I can do? I can reach out and I can help them. If I've got one handful and someone's really needing encouragement, they're needing a hug, guess what I can do? I can embrace them. If I got one handful and someone comes to me and says, hey, I've got a real need. I'm really struggling. And that, do you think you could help me on this need? Well, I've got one hand free, so I can help. Whereas if I've got two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind, and someone needs encouragement, I might say things like, good luck. Hope you get better. Hope everything's okay. But I don't have time for them. I don't have any energy for them. I don't have resources for them. Because I'm wrapped up in my two handfuls, which brings stress, which brings all sorts of stuff in our life. Better is one handful with tranquility or peace than two handfuls with toil, stress, the striving, and chasing after the wind. Better is one handful than two. In fact, Jesus hit this principle on the head in the New Testament. He was actually very aggressive with his words in Luke 12:15. He was talking to a group of people and he says, watch out! He says, watch out, everybody. Be on your guard. Can you say it with me just so I know everyone's with me? Can we all say, watch out? Watch out! I think it's trying to catch our attention here. Be on your guard, everybody. Everybody be on your guard. This isn't something that is just for men. This isn't something just for women or the young or the old or in between. It's not just for the singles or the married. It's everybody. Watch out. Everybody be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The more the world teaches us, just a bit more, that's all I need. Why does Jesus say this? Why does he say, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of evil? And he goes on to say is because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. When we get to heaven, it's all going to mean nothing. In fact, I heard a joke once, and I'm never going to tell it right, but I'm going to try. And that this guy shows up in heaven, rich man. He decides, you know, man, I'm going to get one up on all this. And he takes all of his money. He sells all of his stuff, cashes it all in for gold bricks. Shows up into heaven, and he's got his wheelbarrow full of bricks, and he's walking up to Peter at the gate, and he's like, oh, I'm so excited. And Peter's like, oh, you got some more pavement for us, eh? You got some more pavement here. No, this is my whole life. This is everything. Look what I got. Yet it's just pavement in heaven. There's nothing wrong with stuff. Actually, we serve a good God. We serve a God that's actually happy. Our God's actually excited. That's why he says about joy. That's why he's speaking into our lives about exceeding joy. He's a happy God. He's not a mad God and big beard and he's ready to smack us. No, he's an exciting God. He loves life. Think of the creativity in the rainbow. Think of the creativity in the colors of the birds and all sorts of things. Our God is amazing. Oh God, renew our outlook on who he is. Some of us, we've been taught some things that aren't so good. That's distorted our picture of our good daddy. Every good thing in your entire life that you would ever say was good was from your daddy above. That's how good he is. And some of the things that you don't call good in that heat of the moment until a year later or time later and you say, wow, I sure didn't like the moment, but I'm so glad I went through that because I'm no longer the same. That was a good time when your daddy was coming to help you. It's called discipline. And the Bible says he disciplines the ones he, let's say that again, he disciplines the one he, God's not against you. He is for you. He is for you. After Jesus says that, then he goes on to say a parable. If I paraphrase it, he says, once upon a time, there was a guy that was very successful businessman. And the guy said, oh man, I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build new ones, bigger, better ones, and more. I'm going to kick back after that so I can just have the good life and relax and do whatever I want. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be merry. I'm going to be happy. And then Jesus says, on that very night, your life will be taken from you. Why? Because in Luke 12, just a few verses after the 15 into 21, he says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. This will be what it'll be like for someone that says, more. Chasing after the wind, but doesn't have what matters most, a real living relationship with God. I'm convinced that God doesn't care how much that we have. And simply, he doesn't want all those things to have us. He wants to have us. He's pouring all his blessings down. Every blessing you pour down, I'll turn back to praise. He doesn't want us to get stuck in there, but he wants us to turn it back to praise to him, to acknowledge, God, it's a gift from you. Thank you, God. So that we remember who owns everything. Oh, how quick are we to forget that? I'm in life lesson here. It's not things I'm just speaking out and walk away, ha, 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 ha. These are things God's pointing and speaking into my heart too. He's challenging me on this. My wife and I, we left a good life in Sioux. Had a beautiful house on the lake. We had boarders and renters that paid for pretty much over half or three quarters of it. I mean, things were good. But then God said, I got something better. And that better was called Owen Sound, Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church. And we had a choice. That was good. For the fishermen in here, hop in a canoe, just go out a little bit, catch, catch, catch. It was the good life. Anything and everything that we could think of was right there. But then God challenged our heart and said, you can have the good life. And that was good. Don't get me wrong. That was good. But he says, in this season right now, I've got better. Will we trust him? Will we trust him? You see, it's a question that comes around every time change comes into our life. God's more interested in your life, in you reflecting Christ, in you achieving and walking into the plans and the purposes and the hope and future he has for you than he is about your happiness. In fact, that's why he calls us into relationship with each other, is because he knows that we'll step on each other's toes at times. He knows that when we come together, iron will sharpen iron, which will cause sparks. Relationship. Just don't do it. It's relational suicide to speak ill, to talk bad, to put down, to think those thoughts. And he says, don't do it. There's something better. If we feel right now, I don't know about you, but man, if you come around here enough, you sense the presence of God. We're seeing healings, seeing people set free. We're seeing all sorts of stuff. We're sensing his presence. I hope you are, but I'm seeing it and I'm around it and people are telling me all the time. But if we think that's good, God says there's something better. And you know where the better comes? He says, I dwell, not visit, but I habitat, I dwell where there is unity. In a marriage, in a family, in a church, in your workplace, God just doesn't visit it, but he'll dwell. That doesn't mean we all look the same. It doesn't mean that Christina and I don't have different preferences on stuff, especially now, you know, going through the menopause. She's like so hot all the time, so she's flicking on the cold and everything, and at night I'm just got this chill going down my back sometimes, and I can't sleep, and I got to roll over. I love her. I love her. I know I do. Well, there's differences. Hannah, anytime that we want a, you know, a dessert and we're going to get a pie, I'm thinking, you know, like, come on, like lemon meringue, pumpkin, raspberry. Oh, that would be something. Hannah? Nope, we're only getting apple pie. Apple pie is the best. That's what we're getting. We have this little clash. She's so cute, she usually gets her way, but preferences. It happens in every family. It happens in every moment. Better is one handful with tranquility and peace. Don't take your boss's job over in your mind and in your heart, that you end up carrying your load that God has called you to carry in that workplace, and then carry your boss's too, because you don't think he or she is good enough to do it. Or your coworker. And so you pick up theirs and yours, and now you got stress at work. Why? God called you there so you would pick up yours with peace in your heart, so you could have what? One hand free. So that when your coworker or your boss is struggling, you can lend a hand and lift them up. But don't override them. Don't just try to replace them and do it. That's relational suicide. Put your arm out and lift them better if you help pick them up. Because pity on the one that doesn't care about anyone else because they got two hands on everything in their life, that when they fall down, they have no one to pick them up. Better is one handful with peace than two with stress and striving. I'm going to save part two for next week, where I get the nuts and bolts and break it down for everyone. But can we memorize this scripture? Can we get this into our heart? I'm telling you, this will change your entire outlook and perspective of life if you can catch this one. In fact, I believe this could be one of the greatest moments in the entire year. If we could actually grab this and we could put this concept that the Word of God has said in speaking to us, we could put it into practice. I think we're going to have sweeter marriages. I think we're going to have families, and we're going to understand that all of a sudden, lots of the things we fight about, reality, half of them don't matter. Half of them don't matter. In fact, statistics tell us that most of the stuff that marriages, couples fight over, or in families we fight over, within a few days, sometimes moments, but a few days or in a week, we don't even know why we were fighting in the first place. We're just keeping the thing going because, you know, you're not having one up on me. God's wanting us to have a lot more peace in our life than we have. If you're not walking in peace right now in your relationships, if you're not walking in peace around you, now don't get me wrong, times at mom and dad, you're not called to be a friend to your kids. You're called to be mom and dad. So sometimes there's some ouches in there and you take some lickings because you do something for your kids that you know that maybe they're not going to like it, but it's going to help them, kind of like that spoon of Buckley's. Sure, tastes bad, but it works. You know, in that part of God, he disciplines. God doesn't get kicks and joys out of it, but he loves us too much to allow us to walk down dead ends or in destructive patterns that he'll pull us back in. So as parents, you know, sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes in the marriage, you know, you got two clashing with a husband and wife and they're trying to figure things out. Someone's going to have to bend. Something's going to have to come into that place. And if we can come into this place to understand it's not right and wrong all the time, it's just different. Put two adults in the same room, put four or five adults in the same room and try to get them to come up with one decision on anything, it's pretty hard. Unless someone takes control or someone ends up saying, hey, you're going to lead, you're going to do this, and everyone comes in that motion. But you put individuals in a room and you try to get them to do something or come up with the same plan, it's really hard. Yet God calls us his family. Better is one handful with peace. Don't pick up someone else's thing. You don't have the call for that. You don't have that place. You know, as a wife, you don't have that calling to be a husband. So don't pick up that part and grab it hold because you think your husband's not doing a good enough job. pray for him. Use your extra hand to pray for him and lift him and help him and do whatever you can for him to succeed. Because that's what God's called in marriage. Same thing, vice versa. You know, husband, don't just knock your wife and put her down. Use that extra hand, reach out and lift her up and speak life into her. Because that's God's daughter. That's his princess. Sometimes in life, we get handed situations that we feel like we have to overlap. But that's where the overlapping is not with our hand and us striving, but that's where we allow God's hand to come in and overlap with ours, because he still wants you to have one hand free. Because God's not just wanting to give you and do everything for you, but God actually wants you to partner and do things with him. Freely we've received, freely we give. So even if you feel like life is pushing you to grab a hold of both things at work, in your home, within your marriage, here at the church or whatever, resist it. Resist it. Because it's not from God. It's not his way. Take your hand off and only keep the hand on the one thing God's asked you to do, and keep this one free so you can be about your father's business. And you can love on. You can love on that broken thing. You can love on whatever it is. You can pull in close. You can help. You can do whatever he asks you to do. But resist from coming in with your second hand and trying to do it on your own. You serve a God that loves you, that cares about you. I might not know all the things you're going through, but he knows you. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows how many hairs on your head. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knows all the defects that you think you have. He knows everything. And when he looks at you, he says, I don't make junk. And that you are faultless. You are faultless. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are adopted. And I want you to come close to me. I want you, like a little child, to run up onto my lap. So what does God have to renew in your heart today? What does he have to renew in your mind or in your eyes and what you're seeing? So many times we get caught into looking at half full instead of, half empty instead of half full. We get looking into situations and we're like, I don't agree. I don't understand. Remember when my first time in my life of pastoring, when I was just coming to the end of my time in Welland, my lead pastor, phenomenal communicator from the pulpit. I try. It's not my strength, but I do the best that I can. But he was phenomenal at it. But I remember vividly within my heart the month that all of a sudden something changed inside of me, that all of a sudden every time he'd speak, I'd say, if he would have just said that. If he would have just paused and he would have just, pastor, And I went home after that time. I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me for that, Lord. That's not what my heart is, and I don't want to be distracted by that. I want to hear what you're saying to me so I can take it in. And then I heard this whisper in the back of my voice. He says, God was speaking in my heart. And he says, Phil, I'm just trying to prepare you to look different and see different, because I'm going to move you into a new place. I'm like, what are you talking about? I want you to be the lead pastor now. I'm like, no way, I don't want to do that. And he started changing my heart, so everything around me started looking different and feeling different, because change was in the wind. So I had a choice to make. I either was going to get critical and get going, or I was going to pause and say, okay, God, what are you making here? Because I don't quite see it yet. I don't quite understand it yet, but I'm just going to trust you, God, because you're good and you're forming something here, and anything you do is good, and you're saying that you're doing something in my life, so I'm going to trust you. It really comes back to that part. Will we trust in him? When he doesn't move the mountain, when it doesn't look the way that we thought it would look, when it comes about from a different person or a different way, and we're like, whoa, I expected on the left, whoa. Will we trust them? God is on the move. He is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The church is not Rockcliffe as a name. The church is you and me. So I pray over this season ahead, none of us are comfortable. but that God would shake us and mold us and that. Why? Because I hope with like me, I hope each and every one here is believing that it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. What we see is not what we get. What we believe and what we pray in faith is what we get. You have not because you ask not. Oh God, renew us. The Heavenly Father, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would come and you would speak into each and every one of our hearts. As we're so radically different, each and every one of us, would you speak, Holy Spirit, even now as I just release you, Holy Spirit, would you just speak into all of our hearts about better as one handful with peace than two with toils and stress and chasing after the wind. Lord, I pray right now, whatever that specifically means for each and every one, whether it's something in their marriage or in their family, at work, here, whatever it might be, God, whatever relationship that it's impacting, Lord, I pray that you would help bring a rest to that, that we would resist and pull that one arm away, and we'd say, okay, God, you put your arm in there to support it. I trust you. God, that we would turn around and we'd get our hands maybe off of something that might be good, but it's holding us back from the better hobby or whatever it might be, a concept that we think that should happen a certain way. God, that we'd just let go of those things and let you be God. You said your word is a lamp unto our feet. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's you that orders their steps. We simply come back saying, God, help us to trust you more. Lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge you, knowing you will make our path straight. So God, I just pray blessing over each and every one that this week you would kind of turn our world upside right. That you would bring it back up the right way in our conversations, in our thoughts, in the way we look at things, the way we think, Lord, that we would lighten our loads so that we would come walking through life with one hand reached out, holding on and doing the things you've asked, and one hand free to be able not only to receive what you're giving us, but the other hand to be able to go and give and do and bless. God, I just thank you for each and everyone here. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would go before and behind them. You would take this word and settle it deep. And as we finish it next week, God, Lord, I pray that you would help us with the nuts and bolts next week of practically how to walk this one out. God, that you would just begin to speak it all week long. That when all of a sudden we speak out next week, it would just like, aha, yes, that's it right there. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. So Lord, we embrace that freedom and we say thank you for that. And we thank you for the peace that you are going to deposit in each and every one of our hearts when we learn to be content in all circumstances. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.